that Dave and I were very excited when our nearby produce market opened the 1st of June, and it's Fopama's Market in Northbridge, Mass., very, very near us. And since then, we've been enjoying strawberries and lettuce and tomatoes, and yesterday, red raspberries. And we're eagerly anticipating lots more to come as they shift into an expanding summer harvest of fruits and vegetables grown in the fields that we can actually see from the parking lot. It is indeed a rich harvest. And did you notice the harvest image in today's New Testament and Gospel lessons? Paul reminds the folks in Galatia, "You reap what you sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit." And in the Gospel of Luke, we hear Jesus' instructions to the 70 disciples as he sends them into the fields of ministry. "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The Lord of the harvest, eternal life from the Spirit. If we listen closely and read carefully, we discover who's really in charge. We may be the laborers and the sowers, but it is the Lord's harvest, and the Spirit is the source of eternal life. The same theme runs through the reading from Isaiah as the Lord promises, "I will extend prosperity to Jerusalem." And today's psalm is the beautiful Jubilate Deo, one of the traditional declarations of praise from our morning prayer service. "Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds." Our God is awesome. And yet, I think sometimes we forget it and take God for granted. Not unlike our spiritual ancestors. That theme runs through the scriptures as well. God and the people enter into a covenant, making promises to each other. And then the people get busy and distracted, and they forget their part of the agreement. We get to thinking that we are in control. We know the right way. We think we can make this world and the church a better place. And maybe we can, to some extent. Certainly, we should try. But even Jesus recognizes the reality of human limitations. Remember his admonition to the 70 new teachers and healers he's sending on the road. He knows they won't be universally welcomed. They won't be 100% successful in sowing the word of God and reaping a rich harvest of believers. But they and we must keep on trying, trusting that God is in charge of the outcome. God is the one who calls us to our work of ministry and even, yes, evangelism. We are privileged to participate in building God's reign on earth right now, but God is the one in charge of the outcome. And sometimes we get to share in the joy of the harvest, welcoming new souls to the body of Christ, the church. Today, for example, we will participate in the baptism of a young child, Cy Robert Carberry Seegers, the newest member of this particular branch of the family of God. We will renew our own baptismal vows, promising to follow in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. We will promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being with God's help. With God's help. Everything we accomplish in this world and the next is only and always with God's help. When we find success, it is through the grace of God. And when we fall short, even if we fail to accomplish anything at all, God's mercy allows us to pick up and go on. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of God's promise. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Because God is in charge, and God is faithful. When we leave this building each week, God invites us to carry the good news into the world, to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in our own neighborhoods and offices and homes, to comfort, to visit, to teach, to be present in sorrow and in joy with the people God brings to us in our daily comings and goings. It isn't our task to reach everybody, or to convert the whole world, or even everyone in the state of Rhode Island. We don't have to do it all. Isaiah tells us, prosperity is God's doing. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus describes his disciples, including us, as the light of the world. We only have to say yes, to agree to share the light of Christ with wherever God sends us. But how do we do it? Well, Anne Lamott, the author of Traveling Mercies and of many other good books about spirituality, gives us an idea. She was quoted recently in The Week as saying, "Lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining." When we go outside these walls, we are invited to stand there shining, to faithfully be what we claim to be, followers of Jesus Christ. We are invited to be Christians in everything we say and do. We are called to be the light, to shine wherever we are and with whomever we meet. And then we are to trust the harvest to God. Amen.